Lord, we proclaim that today. How great You are. Oh God, thank You that You who created all these worlds considered us. That You loved us when we were unlovely. You forgave us when we were so dirty and rotten. And You have given us an adoption as sons. You've brought us into Your family. And You've made us one in You. And for that, Lord, we praise You and we thank You. And God, I pray that it would be beyond our just simple thanks, but it would engulf our life. It would overwhelm us. And Lord, that it would just spur and motivate our relationship with You. And Lord, I pray now as we turn to Your Word, that God, that we would have open ears to open hearts, that we would listen for obedience, that Your Spirit could move among us, Lord, and that we would not quench Him. And God, that we would follow what You would have for us today. And Lord, we'll praise You for it. It's all Your work. All the glory goes to You. And we want to be faithful for what You've given to us. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated this morning, our kids in grades kindergarten through fifth grade are going to be dismissed for Kids Connect. It's a time for them to have a message in the Word geared for them. All right. I love that tie, buddy. That is awesome. All right. Great job. So they're going to head back in a time for them. If you will, take your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This morning I've entitled the message, Time to Sit. Which kind of seems contrary to our objective. Time to sit. When we come to fall kickoff Sunday, it's an exciting time. We're looking forward to all that we have in front of us and all the opportunities that we have to get involved and to do things and to learn more about Christ and all these different opportunities. And as we look at fall, we know that it's a busy time of year. And we have school starting and it's always a rush when we have all that coming to our schools, our teachers and all that they have to do to get ready and then the first day hits and all their plans just go out the window and things change and, you know, and all the craziness of school, everything that happens. And as we come in the fall, it just kind of continues to grow even through to the Thanksgiving season, the Christmas season. And we can just watch our calendars fill up. Now, maybe you're like my wife, and don't tell her. I took her calendar. Which maybe this is your calendar. And you're looking at the fall, and you're like, I got all these different types of stuff. I got this on this day. I got that on this day. And man, your calendars fill up, and you got all these different things. She's got meal planning in here. All right. I like that one. Needs to go here. All right. You know, you plan out, and you fill up your calendars, right? Your days get filled. And you got all this stuff that goes into your calendar. And as we come into fall, there's so many opportunities to fill our calendars. We've got this starting. We've got this meet. We've got this group. We've got this at work. We've got this with the family. We've got these birthdays. We've got this. We got that. And we got all these stuff. And our calendars begin to get filled up. And this morning, I want to remind us here that we need to also have time to sit. We need to have a time to sit. You know, as I was looking through this and thinking about this, I noticed that a lot of times, and we're just as guilty too, but we don't schedule out worship. Think about what makes it to your calendar. What makes it to your calendar? What do you put in your phone's calendar? What do you put on the calendar, on the refrigerator? What makes it to those times? Those times of importance, those times you know, I can't miss this, I can't miss that. And how many times do we schedule out our calendars and we don't think about worship? You know, it's Sunday, right? You say it's Sunday. It's what I always do on a Sunday, right? Maybe. But how often does it not get put on a calendar so that when we have those days that we can just say, you know what? I've had a busy week. I need a Sunday. You know what? I've had a lot of stuff's been going on. I just don't know if I can make Bible study today. When we need to make sure that our calendars reflect the priorities that go on in our heart and in our life. That we want to make sure that Christ has the spots that He needs in us, and we need those times that we need to sit at His feet. I want to look at a short little story this morning. It's power-packed and has three applications I want to bring out. Luke chapter 10, let's look at verses 38 through 42. Verse 38 through 42, it says, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" A time to sit. As we see this story this morning, we see it pick up in the players of Martha and Mary. We're in their house. And as we look and we notice there is, it starts at verse 38, "Now as they went on their way." This is a kind of a traveling motif that we're seeing here, and it's connecting to some of the previous text. And in so doing, there's this context of journey, and as Jesus was on His way, and really, we know that Jesus, He did not usually travel alone. He usually had His disciples, He had people with Him, and so there was probably a group, but in emphasis here, Luke is only focusing on Jesus and Mary and Martha. And so as they're traveling, they come along into, they enter a village, and we know that Mary and Martha reside in Bethany from John chapter 11 and 12. And they come to Mary and Martha's home. And what we see here in this context is the context of hospitality, which was a big tradition and custom for the Jewish people and the people of this time, was to be hospitable and to receive the guest and to make sure you served them and took care of them. And we also see it coming on the heels of what Jesus just taught in Luke chapter 10 in verses 25 through 37. He talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan, which was also a teaching about reception. And they were trying to find out, who is our neighbor? Who should we love? And Jesus pointed to the Samaritan that helped them, that one that went out of his way, that when the cultures didn't match up, that it took the time to help somebody in need. He said that receiving somebody like that is a love for your neighbors. And now we see this story of Mary and Martha, where He's continuing the idea of reception. And so we see these two sisters, they're ready to receive, but we see it in two different manners. Now, if you have brothers and sisters, maybe you know how it is in your house that you have the different kind of characteristics, the different qualities, the different things that go on. I had two older brothers, Lance and Lee. It was Lance with the ants, Lee with the fleas, and Lyle with the smile, all right? They have my oldest brother, he's 11 years older than me. My next brother is 7 years older than me. And so when they left the house, it was perfect. And the house was holy again. I kind of had a time of being by, myself and different things. But all of us have our different characteristics and our different things. And here we see this even with Martha and with Mary. In this time, they're both ready to receive, but they do so in kind of some different ways. And in it, we see the idea of reception. How do we receive Jesus? And in it, we see Mary being the example as she sat at Jesus' feet. We need a time to sit at Jesus' feet. In the busyness of all that you're going to have, and everything that you have upcoming, we must not forget the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. To make it a priority. And I want you to see three applications from that this morning. First, I want you to see that good things in the wrong order become distractions. Good things in the wrong order become distractions. Notice there with me, there in verse 38, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So here we see Martha. And in this idea of hospitality, she was not doing anything wrong. She was doing exactly what she was taught to do, exactly what she was supposed to do in providing good hospitality, that she needed to be serving and she needed to be, providing the dishes and cooking the meal and doing these different aspects. And she was putting this all together. And notice what it says in verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. She was trying to get this dish together, and she was trying to get that dish together, and she's trying to get the beverages, and she's trying to make everything just right, and make sure the house is just right, to make sure that the Lord would be received. And she's going through the back and the forth, and the back and forth. I can just see the picture of her scurrying about from the open room, the receiving room, to back where the kitchen would be, and back and forth, and the way their homes would be constructed. Sometimes the kitchen would be on the outside where they were cooking, and so she's back and forth. She's working up a sweat. She's doing all these different things, multitasking. And she's doing exactly what she thought she was supposed to be doing. It was a good thing for her to be a good host. It was a good thing. But it wasn't the best thing. And there are times when we can get good things in the wrong place and they distract us from the best thing. Listen. If the devil can get you wrapped up in some good things that take you away from Jesus Christ, he's going to win a victory. If he can make something look good and look appealing that seems to be all right, and the devil is good about mixing in a little bit of good and a little bit of truth, a little bit of things, and then all of a sudden it looks great, it looks good, but if it's distracting you from what is best and distracting you from Jesus Christ, it is in the wrong order and it becomes a distraction. Notice what this distraction then does. And she went up to him in verse 40 and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Whoa, Martha. Who are you talking to? Do you see the language here? Do you see what she's saying and what's coming about? Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I don't think you can ever accuse Jesus of not caring. The one that gave his life for us, that left his throne to this earth for us, whose love goes beyond anything that we can imagine. And yet in her mind, because she was distracted with the good things and she's distracted in all these little different things, she is coming to him, "Lord, do you not care for me?" You know what happens when we get distracted in the good things and it's taken us away from Jesus Christ? We find ourselves spiritually beginning to drift from him and drift from him till we're at a spot that we're saying, "Lord, don't you care about me?" He's saying, "I haven't moved. I haven't moved. Do you not care?" And then notice, she commands him. This is an actual imperative here where she says, "Tell her then to help me." Now all of a sudden she's telling Jesus what he needs to do. That doesn't work out. When we get in our mindset that we're going to tell God what he needs to do, that usually doesn't work out for us. And what happens when we get distracted and we get ourselves in all these different things in all these different ways, distracted even with the good things, we then begin to use Jesus to engage our plans instead of his plan. And all of a sudden it's, "Jesus, I need you to do this. Tell her to get up and help me. I'm the good one here. I'm doing the serving. Jesus, can't you see? I'm working hard. I'm trying my best. I'm doing these different things." Listen, Jesus is not worried about your works. He wants to give you rest. He wants you to come to him. And Martha is distracted by all the good things. So she wants to use Jesus for her plans and not his. Don't let good things distract you from the one thing. Don't let the good things that can surround us, the good things that we can try to justify in our hearts and lives, and things that we can try to rationalize that this is okay, that this works, that it's just one Sunday, and it's just this, or it's just one Bible study, it's just this, it's just one day, and all of a sudden we find ourselves adrift because we've let good things get in the way of the best thing. And we're all of a sudden in a place we don't need to be. That means that we should not let worship be negotiable. It should be scheduled. It should be a part of our fabric, a part of our being, that this is going to be important, that this is going to be a time for us to sit at the feet of Jesus. Our worship shouldn't be negotiable. Our obedience shouldn't be circumstantial. That I will obey as long as this, this, and this. And we begin to give circumstances. We should make sure that the one thing stays the one thing. Good things in the wrong order become distractions. Secondly, I want you to see that submissive discipleship serves Jesus best. This is where we see the contrast between Mary and Martha. All right, so look at where Mary is in verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." She was sitting at the Lord's feet. When we see this idea of sitting at the feet, it's a time for us to recognize the idea of a disciple, of a student, of a learner, of a follower. In the New Testament, it was the picture of that student sitting at the master's feet. It was used in Acts 22 and verse 3 of Paul and Gamaliel, where it said, Paul says, "I sat at the feet of Gamaliel." It was used in the idea of a student and a teacher. And so when Luke brings out this idea of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, we see this picture of Mary in a form of discipleship, in a form of, "Hey, I'm a learner. I want to learn from you, Jesus." And she is submitting to him in teaching. And what's interesting here is Luke is suddenly giving us some hints. Because we see him use, in four times, he uses the term Lord in these passages, in these verses. He wants to get this through our mind that this was the Lord. This was the Master. This was the Messiah. This was the one that came for us. This is the Lord. This is the one that we are to be submitted to. And here she is in that posture of a disciple sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, we look at that in contrast to Martha and we think, you know, that's kind of lazy, isn't it? I mean, she's sitting at his feet. You know, shouldn't she be doing something? But no, she's sitting at his feet, learning from him in this posture. And you know what's really interesting? If you look at Mary in Scripture, this Mary and Martha, you will always find this Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. If you go to John chapter 11, when Jesus is coming to Bethany because Lazarus has passed away, Martha runs, she gets Mary from the house, and Mary comes out and she falls down at Jesus' feet and begins to weep for her brother Lazarus. After Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead and he comes back to Bethany and they have a celebration and they put on a feast and a party for Jesus. And as they're at this party, Mary gets up and she takes some ointment and she begins to anoint the feet of Jesus. And we see this picture of Mary always at the feet of Jesus. It was a picture of a submission, a picture of discipleship. And not only that, there's something else that's taking this to a different level. Because what we see here is Mary, a woman, sitting at the feet of Jesus, a man. And in the Jewish ideas, in the Jewish tradition, this would not have happened. The women would have been trained in different ways, and they would have been taught from the older women to the younger women, but they wouldn't have been the ones sitting at the feet. And here we see this picture and we see this idea where Jesus is promoting this and Jesus is talking about that this is the thing that is necessary. And so it's breaking from the cultural norm to let the one thing be the one thing. Folks, the culture does not inform us of what our time should be. The culture doesn't get to inform us of what we should do. We do not have to submit to the culture that is around us. But through Jesus Christ, we have a pattern. We have a picture. We have an opportunity to serve and be followers of Him. It's not the cultural norm. So here we see Mary submissively sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it says there in verse 39, and listening to his teaching. She was listening to his teaching. Whenever we see this idea of listening in Scripture, it goes beyond our idea of listening. This idea of listening includes an idea of obedience. It's the difference that, you know, we kind of see from listening and hearing. You know, we tell our kids things sometimes and they might hear it, but they're not really listening, right? Well, when we see listening in Scripture, and it's an idea that comes from the Old Testament, the Hebrew word Shema, as we see all these different aspects, the idea of listening includes obedience. And so Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and listening was an opportunity for her to follow in discipleship, to continue to learn, to continue to grow. Discipleship requires listening to God, hearing from Him, and then obeying. It's not really listening if we aren't obeying. And she follows Him. I remember when Hayden was in preschool, we were in Junction, Texas, where I was pastoring a church down there, and Nicole was doing some substitute teaching and some different things, and Hayden was going to preschool, and there was one day that we had to pick him up, and Hayden had a rough day and just really wasn't interested in listening to the teacher. And so Nicole was talking to Miss Sean, his teacher, and she was just dying laughing. And Nicole is, you know, like, this is not acceptable. He's not supposed to have these kind of days. He's supposed to listen. He's supposed to behave. Why are you laughing? And Miss Sean began to talk about the fact that she was trying to get Hayden to do these different things. And granted, Hayden was about, you know, 3-4 years old he's about 4 or 5 at this time. That she had asked Hayden several times to do this certain thing. I can't remember if it was to come over and sit with the group or I can't remember the detail. She had asked Hayden several times, and finally she said, Hayden, are you listening to me? And he said, nope. And she said, Hayden, why not? He said, I left my ears at home. there's a difference between hearing and listening. And there's so many times that we leave our ears at home to God when we need to hear. We need to listen, to take it in, to put it into our life, and then to obey. Submissive discipleship serves Jesus best. And then thirdly, we see that time with Jesus is never a regret. Time with Jesus is never a regret. Look at verse 41. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." I want you to think about that phrase there at the end. It will not be taken away from her. This one thing that Mary was doing, this sitting at the feet of Jesus, this listening to His teaching, this one thing will not be taken away from her. Would it have been a good thing if Mary was up serving? Yes, it could have been. Would have been a good thing for Mary to be doing some of these other things, but the best thing, the one thing that she was focused on was listening to Jesus, to hearing His teaching, to having this time with Him. And Jesus said, this is not going to be taken away from her. You will never regret the time you spend with Jesus. You know, I hear testimonies all the time of those that say, I was having a tough morning. I just didn't really think about coming to worship. But you know, I got up. I came. You know what? I always find that when I do that, the Lord always gives me something. And it's always good just to be around somebody. It's always good to have a conversation. Something in the song. Something in the word. Something's going to stand out. We never regret the time that we spend with Jesus because it is something that is going to last. You know what? Jesus didn't need the elaborate meal. The elaborate meal was something that wasn't going to last. They were going to get hungry again. I noticed that far too often. That no matter the elaborate meal that I take in, I'm going to get hungry again. I'm trying not to get as hungry as I used to. But what Jesus wanted was true disciples. He wanted worshipers sitting at His feet, seeing these things that will last for all eternity. And the question for us then is what we are majoring on, is it going to last? The things that become our focus, is it going to last? The things that we put ahead of Jesus at different points in our life, is it something that's going to last? Is it something that's going to matter for all eternity? Is it something that's going to be there when this earth is purged and our works are standing before God? Is it something that is going to last? Is it going to be something that will stand through in all is said and done when we are standing before Jesus? Is it going to last? Because if not, what is it going to profit you? What is it going to profit you? You know what? You might enjoy fishing. And I enjoy fishing. I love fishing. I grew up in Florida and got a chance to do a lot of fishing with my dad. But when that comes in front of Jesus, it's an idol that will not profit me anything. I don't care how many fish I catch. I don't care how many I put on a wall. It's not going to profit me in regard to Jesus. You might be searching for the highest position in your work, and you might be striving to raise up through the corporate ladder. When all is said and done, if it's put in front of Jesus, it becomes a distraction and it takes us away from Him. What we are majoring on, we have to keep in focus of whether or not it's going to last. And Jesus here tells Martha, this one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Because what Jesus provides is something for all eternity. That even goes to the work on the cross. Because of what Jesus Christ did on a cross. Because He died and because He shed His blood and because on the third day He rose up out of the grave, that makes an eternal difference in our life. That it's not something that's dependent upon this day or the next day, that one day it's not going to be bad, or one day it's not going to go away, or we're not going to do something that changes that. But through a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, we know that that work changes us for all eternity. And that is something that we will never regret. You're not going to be standing in heaven one day and saying, you know what? I just wish I'd just taken a few more Sundays off from worship. I just wish I had, you know, I had spent more time doing those things on earth instead of reading my Bible. I wish I'd have spent more time. You will not be saying that as you're standing there on those streets of gold, as you're looking up at the Lamb that has the marks of redemption in His wrist and in His feet, who has the pierced side that was there. As you're looking at Him and you're worshiping Him, you're not going to say, oh, I regret the time that I spent with Him. I want to regret the life that I gave to Him. You're going to say, no, I wish I had given Him more. I wish I had made more time to sit at His feet. Because what He gives will not be taken away. So the question is for us this fall, where will we be? In all the opportunities that we have before us, will Jesus be a part of your schedule? Will you be eager to listen, to obey? Will you join in something that is going to last? You have those Connect cards. Those Connect Two group cards. And this is a opportunity for us to grow deeper in our church. And we put one on every seat because we want to give everybody an opportunity to continue to grow. And I want you to take those cards. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. Even in these next few moments. And if you want this opportunity to grow in a small setting, in an intimate setting, I want you to fill it out. Check yes, I'm interested. I want to be a part of a group. If you're willing to be a host, to say, you know what, I want to be a host of this. I want to be a part of this. I want to have a hand in seeing people come together and growing in Christ. Check that as well. But will you be a part of something that's going to last? Something that will not be regrettable. And when you get a chance, you fill it out. In the info room, we have a basket hanging on the wall for the Connect Two group cards. Drop it in there so we can get a chance to get groups formed and get them going. A chance for us to continue to sit at the feet of Jesus. This past year, when the hurricanes rolled through and it did a lot of damage in my parents' house, and a couple of us had a chance to go down and help my parents. There was one day that we were there in the afternoon, the humidity and the heat would get really tough as you're trying to put tarps on roofs, and so we had to make a gasoline run, which was a couple hour thing because of the lines and everything that was going on the shortage of gas, and we had to find out which gas station had gas and different things. And so DJ and I were riding with my dad, and DJ asked my dad, so, you know, I've heard from Lyle and different things your testimony, but I want to hear it from you about when you came to Jesus Christ. And it was kind of interesting because I heard some things there I've never heard before. I guess DJ's more special than I am. I don't know. But I listened to my dad begin to tell his testimony. And my dad was in the Air Force, and he was stationed at Carsville in Fort Worth. And, you know, he wasn't in the best of life. He wasn't, a good Christian. He wasn't going to church. He wasn't doing any of that kind of things. And he was invited to be a part of a softball league, a church softball league. And my dad was very ornery. And he would go and he'd be a part of this church softball league, and he would do things just to get them riled up. He said, you know, I do things to get these Christians riled up. And I, you know, say curse words and tell really bad off-color jokes and different things just to watch their reactions. And as they were going through this, my dad was riding with the youth pastor. They had gone out to eat pizza. And what's really interesting is my mom was there too and really couldn't stand him at that point in time. They'd eaten pizza and my dad's car was at the church parking lot. And so he had to ride back with the youth pastor from the church to get his car in the parking lot. And so as they're running back, and my dad, of course, he's still trying to get the rise out of the youth pastor. He's doing all these different things. And so the youth pastor just then begins to talk to him. He just begins to ask him, you know, what's your plan? What are you doing? He said, well, I'm in the Air Force. I got so much longer in here, and then, I'm going to get out of the Air Force. And then he said, well, then what? My dad said, well, then, I'm an airplane mechanic, so hopefully I can get on with, one of the airlines out here. American Airlines had a big hub there in Dallas, and DFW wasn't built yet, so they're still at Love Field. And he said, I'm going to try to get on American Airlines and get a job there. He said, okay, then what? My dad's like, well, hopefully I'll get married at some point, and we'll have a family and have some kids and continue to work and earn some good living. And he said, well, then what? And my dad's like, well, where's this going? Well, maybe I'll, retire and I'll fish. I'll do a lot of fishing. Remember, my dad was a big fisherman. I'll do a lot of fishing and, do some tournaments with my buddies and different things. My dad's then sitting there and he said, well, then what? My dad kind of got quiet. And he came to the realization, well, I guess then I'll die. And the youth pastor turned to him and said, do you have a plan for that? And it was there that my dad was confronted with the fact that Jesus was not a part of his life. And it was there that he realized that all these different things that he had in his life, all these different plans, all these different actions, all these different things that he thought was still not going to change the fact that death was coming. But there's one that can change it. And something that will not be taken away. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it was in the parking lot of that church in Fort Worth that my dad came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And there God got a hold of him, called him into ministry. He changed his life so much that my mom actually began to like him. And I'm pretty thankful that that happened. I can definitely say I am here today because Jesus Christ changed my dad's life. When I graduated high school, we had a baccalaureate service, a church service, for the graduates. In our town in Lake Wales, we had a passion play in an amphitheater. It was an old sinkhole in the middle of the groves. And there we had our baccalaureate service at this passion play. And so you had the whole setup was kind of like Jerusalem, and you had the temple and the Herod's, palace. And over here was the tomb. And that's where, our graduation services were. And that's where the baccalaureate service was. And I was in the graduating class, and when they had someone that had a father who was a minister, they tried to ask them and invite them to speak for the baccalaureates, and they asked my dad to speak for my baccalaureate. It'll be a message I never forget, because I'm sitting there amongst all these guys I went to high school with, and I was so proud that of all the things my dad could have said to them, he took him to a verse. The verse said, "What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world, but you lost your own soul?" He said, you could become the greatest astronomer and discover all these worlds and all these planets, but if you don't know the God that hung the stars, you lose your own soul. You can become the greatest physician and be able to help people as a great doctor, but if you do not know the great physician that put together this frame, this body, you'll lose your own soul. And it just echoed in that amphitheater. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world but lost your own soul? From a guy that tried to get a rise out of these Christians, they got confronted with the fact that, you know what, it's not going to last. His life was transformed. And for us today, we have an opportunity to decide to sit at the feet of Jesus, to have something that's going to last. And I want to ask you, as you look at your calendar and you put all those dates in your calendar and you fill it up, ask yourself, then what? What is going to matter? When it's all said and done, what is the one thing? And hopefully you'll decide to sit at the feet of Jesus. Shall we stand? There with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want to ask you today, then what? Has there ever been that time in your life where you spiritually sat at the feet of Jesus, where you came to the point where you realized that you were dead in your trespasses and sins? Have you ever come to realize that you need a Savior, that what you are doing is not going to cut it? That all these things that are happening and all this work that you're trying to do is not going to save you? And that you need a Savior? Today I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, to be your Savior? Because today is the day to sit at the feet of Jesus. Today is the day to turn around, to put something in our life that you are not going to regret, something that will not be taken away from you. Do you know Jesus? In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. The altar is going to be open. And if you need to know Jesus, I'm going to be standing right here. And just step out, come and say, you know what? I need to know Jesus. I need to know something that is worthwhile. I need to know something that I'm not going to regret. Something that is going to last for all eternity. I need a Savior. Step out. Meet me down here. For those of you that know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, As you think about that calendar in your life, I want to ask you, where is your time to sit at the feet of Jesus? Is it scheduled or is it negotiable? Is it priority or is it circumstantial? Because I guarantee you, if you make Jesus a priority, He transforms your life. And you can do that right now. The altar is going to be open. And as the Spirit moves in us and as the Spirit works in us, come, lay it at His feet this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we now will listen, not just hear, that we'll listen to You. We'll follow You. We'll obey You. And Lord, I pray that as Your Spirit works now, that we would respond. Lord, help us to do what You'd have us to do right now. And we'll give You the praise for it. For it's in Your name we pray.